The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house on a busy Wednesday morning, a busy Tuesday, certainly, and busy moving forward with the PGA starting tomorrow. Preakness this weekend? Is the Preakness this weekend?
There allegedly is a horse race this
a
weekend.
A special numbers game investigation reveals that the Preakness is this weekend.
Yep.
We worked on that all last night. We got a show with Matt Brown to talk PGA with us, our own Matt Brown from The Handle, co-host of The Handle, co-host of Long Shots, which you may have heard, Kelly, is our golf podcast that is co-hosted by you, Matt Brown, and Wes Reynolds.
Yeah, special video version up on the VSiN YouTube page right now. Go check out the whole show from yesterday.
Get out.
After you watch a numbers game, of course.
Get out.
Yeah.
Good for you. Will Hill will join us, talk about all the things he's betting, basketball, baseball, beyond. Today we do something that is a numbers game slash beating the book slash betting dork tradition. If you've been with me through the years, you know that Mark Borchardt and I get together and do Q1, Q2, Q3 updates, MLB derivatives. It's a stats and it's a nerdy stats thing that's designed to help you win bets moving forward. We talk about umpires' performances thus far during the season, obviously teams' money line, run line, splits on the money line, how teams are doing for bettors, what is predictive, what is narrative, and really where we sort of get into it is first five inning records, teams' best and worst thus far, and proprietary first inning stats for pitchers. So we'll do that with Mark Borchardt on the show. And we'll talk NBA draft. Obviously, the biggest thing yesterday, waxed all day yesterday about the NBA draft lottery. Victor Wembanyama goes to the San Antonio Spurs, and we'll talk about the odds now up for the number 2, 3, 4, and 5 picks of the draft a little later on. But man, oh man, good for the Spurs. And we'll talk about some of the things I mentioned yesterday about the way that the lottery is conducted actually manifested yesterday. We'll talk about how the Spurs are even luckier than you think they are, and how one team was one number away from getting Wembanyama. They shot up to over 50% chance to get him, and then the number landed in the Spurs combination. A little nerdy draft lottery thing coming up as well. But we start, of course, with the game last night, the Western Conference Finals, game number one between the Lakers and the Nuggets in Denver. 132-126, the Nuggets win it by 6. Depending where you got this number is really what happened with your bet. We'll determine what happened with your bet. A lot of people pushed on this. A lot of people lost if they had the Nuggets. I would imagine, it was a 5.5 at the outset, wasn't it?
Oh, I got 4. I laid 4.5 at the opener.
Yeah, so this might have been a bad result for some books.
Yes, there's definitely some winners and losers depending on when you got the number.
Totally. Jokic missing a free throw late to ensure the 6 landed on what it was. So a lot of people pushed and a lot of people won it, on both sides. But I'll tell you, we got to get into the details of this, but because this is usually I come in here every morning after these basketball games and I have a definitive sort of theme that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, as the fourth quarter was going and the Lakers were coming back in the game, I was texting Felica and Will Hill. I'm like, I have no idea what my primary takeaway is from this game, which we'll get into momentarily. I will say this, though. I think some people are going a little nuts. You see the Darren Revelle tweet where he's like, this is the greatest game that's ever existed. I'm paraphrasing. We have the actual tweet. But it's like, okay, easy. Here it is. People will dismiss it because it's not an NBA Finals game, so the stakes weren't as high. But what you just watched was one of the greatest games ever played. Okay, easy. There's no defense. I mean, if you like one side of the court, I guess so. And then there's the Bill Simmons tweet where he's like, really bad 48 hours for Joel Embiid. Didn't you vote for Joel Embiid, buddy? Oh, rough 96 hours for Embiid. Pardon me. He's like the Joker. Rough 96 hours for Embiid. Sorry, didn't you vote for Embiid for the MVP? What a ball game last night. And it was, you know, for those who missed it, and good God, I hope you don't miss another one of these.
Yeah.
The Lakers trailed by 18 at the half. They trailed by 21 in the third quarter, but got all the way within 3 with 3:23 left in the fourth quarter. 124-121. And then really sort of a play that will get lost. 125-121, AD misses a tip-in layup attempt. It was a 50-50 ball on the rebound, grabbed by Michael Porter Jr. on the floor in a scrum. Somehow KCP grabs it I thought AD was going to get it back, and Caldwell Pope grabs it, gives it to Murray, to Gordon for the alley-oop jam. Huge play, 127-121. Without that play, I don't know if Denver wins. There's a lot of these without that play. Yeah. I don't know if Denver wins.
You can say that a couple times, but I agree with you on that one. The other part that was weird about that play was, like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, where's the timeout? Like,
and where's the whistle?
And, and then after no timeout, you're like, where's the jump ball?
Right.
Right? And then you're like, okay, we're just going to let this go.
We're just
going to
keep going.
Okay.
So 127-121, but because of a couple Austin Reeves threes, the Lakers got it back to within three two other times, including with under a minute left with the ball down three, and then is 129-126, and then Jamal Murray is checking LeBron at the arc and strangely, like, gives him room, and LeBron has a free three to tie it. Gack. Lakers never score again, 132-126, Denver. Jokic, oh my God, 34-21-14 on 12 of 17 shooting, 3 of 3 behind the arc. At halftime, he had 19-16-7 when AD was checking him. And then he's the only player now with two playoff games of 30 points, 20 boards, and 10 assists. All the others combined are two, Wilt in 1967, Kareem in 1970, and his 12th career playoff triple-double, the sixth this season. Jamal Murray added 31 for the Nuggets in defeat, AD 40-10, LeBron 26-12-9. Both teams just shy of 55% for the field. The Lakers 45.8% from behind the arc. The Nuggets 46.9% from three. Nuggets out-rebounded the Lakers, though, by 17, 47-30, 15-5 on the offensive glass. And the Nuggets had 17 transition points in the first half when they were crushing the Lakers, only two on one field goal attempt in the second half. The play that we highlighted with Aaron Gordon. So it gets to, for our betting purposes, what are the takeaways here moving forward? First of all, maybe the main takeaway is these are just straight overs. Just close your eyes, bet overs, and never think about it again. Because Drew Dinsick, by the way, has done a great job of adjusting on the fly during these series. I don't know if there's going to be a just. By the way, it came out yesterday, 223.5. Within a split second, it was 225.5.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. It's gonna be.
Who's playing defense?
I'm almost gonna have to see an under before I get there, close to a bet. But both teams did shoot lights out, right?
Lights out.
You're over 45% from three on both of those teams. 54% from the field for both of them. It's incredible.
It's ridiculous.
Now to your point, a lot of them were easy baskets. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to point out the 3-point percentages because we know those will vary game to game, but man, there were some easy baskets on both sides. My biggest takeaway, Gil, is
let's do it in order here, because those stats, right, is maybe the over is the biggest takeaway. But the other thing is, and this is what I want to get to, is what is from a side perspective, you know, let's take, we said maybe the Nuggets don't win without that scrum play where Aaron Gordon ends up an alley-oop. Okay, there's also a couple shots in that game where the end of the third quarter, the very end of the third quarter, Jokic hits that three with AD all up in his grill. He hits that maybe 1 in 10 times.
Yeah, maybe.
And then there was the Jamal Murray, like, just inside the 11-minute mark of the fourth quarter. LeBron, with the shot clock going down, is all up in Jamal Murray's face. And he does a cross body shot put for two.
that was more absurd than the Jokic one.
AD's laughing at the Jokic one.
Yeah.
LeBron is giving a thumbs up to Jamal Murray after that one. Like, so those shots aren't going in again.
Yeah, no.
So in the end, this is the two big takeaways from the side are, okay, the Nuggets won the game. Jokic could do whatever he wants. And by the way, I do think too much is being made of the Rui Hachimura adjustment. Because I don't know if that's sustainable either. Like, I get it. He quelled Jokic to some extent. But I don't know if that's going to be effective moving forward. So the Nuggets could do whatever they want. Jokic could do whatever he wanted. They scored lights out. Yes, they did have shots that went in that otherwise might not have. But in the end, they still get the win, and they get to do their adjustments as well. Is that the primary takeaway, just the result? Or is it, and I think in some cases justifiably, that the Lakers took all those haymakers, all those shots that probably shouldn't have gone in, and those 50-50 balls that could have gone either way, and they almost won this basketball game? What's the answer? Kelly Bidlin?
The second one.
The second one?
Yeah.
You're convinced of it?
Yeah. I think we need to be careful with you laid it out very well. I think we need to be careful with all that, though, because is Jokic, I think the Lakers absolutely found, I thought the broadcast was excellent, first of all. We don't give enough credit sometimes. We always hate on the bad broadcast.
Yeah.
I thought Van Gundy and those guys were great last night, breaking down what the Lakers were doing in that second half to Jokic and to the Nuggets. I agree with you. It's not going to be Hachimura every night. It's not Hachimura really shutting down Nikola Jokic. And if that's the matchup all series long, that's not going to happen. Jokic is going to get his points. But what allows him to do is free up AD, right? Is to play, allow him to play weak side defense, come over and help on Jokic, help on these other guys that get in the paint and block some shots. So it frees up Anthony Davis.
He gets to play free safety.
Right, exactly. It's much like what we saw with Boston matching up Marcus Smart on Joel Embiid, right? Allows Robert Williams to play free safety and control the paint. So I think that that's something they're gonna rely on in game two and going forward is different matchups like that to free up AD defensively. It's not going to always be Hachimura on Jokic, but Jokic is too good. He will, him and Malone will figure out a way to adjust to that as well.
So that I think my takeaway then is number two, the part about the Lakers being, you know, keeping it so tight despite all that is probably the primary takeaway. But I almost feel like the pendulum has swung too much on that narrative. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. Nuggets still won. Jokic can still do whatever he wants. Let's slow our roll with that. Game two is its own entity. Nuggets minus 260 now on the adjusted series price. And if Denver wins both at home, are the Lakers going to win 4 out of 5 against this team? I'm going to say no to that. Baseball with Mark Borchardt next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Before we get to Mark Borchardt and our Q1 derivatives MLB tradition. So, Kelly, it's 5.5 again on the Nuggets in game two. It's 227 now on the total. What did you bet so far?
I made some series bets. I did make some series bets on the Lakers to win in 6 and win in 7, plus 650 on each of those. I think you're right that this game two might be up for grabs. I might be staying away from the game number two of actual game bet. Those series prices I found were a little off, especially the game to win in 6-1. So bet those. Man, I think the Nuggets just look. I think this is going to be a good long series. This is going to be a battle between both teams. The one thing I'm concerned about is, like, I think Jokic is going to be there. Jamal Murray, who I love, but you got to keep, like, he has to keep up this scoring level. It puts a lot of pressure on Jamal Murray and Bruce Brown, frankly, coming off that bench scoring. And it's
a small bench, though, that's for sure.
It's thin, but I think the Lakers have a small margin. Better as far as depth and at least scoring ability from some of their guys. Like D'Angelo Russell, he didn't do anything last night. He hasn't done much in the playoffs. But, like, at some point, he should be able to have a game.
Oh, he had a game against the Warriors. Don't say that. Yeah.
Hachimura, obviously, he's not going to play that well every game, but, you know, scoring-wise. But he should be there. You should get more out of Lonnie Walker, Jared Vanderbilt, those guys. So, I don't know. It's going to be a huge game, too. It's a huge game, too.
I ended up taking the Nuggets first half last night because figured they'd come out soaring. Yep. They did. Don't know that I do that in game two. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, I hear you.
We'll see. Do have the Heat, which we'll talk about later on the show, do have them pre-flop tonight, taking all those points. Let's talk some baseball. Again, if you've listened to this show or the podcasts for many years, you know that the longest staple we've had is Mark Borchardt, base winner from an undisclosed location in the desert, doing quarterlies with us. And right now, as we round the 40-game mark, roughly, in the Major League Baseball season, we like to take a look at things that have happened and try to figure out what's predictive and what is just narrative? What's signal? What's noise in terms of making baseball bets moving forward? Or as we like to introduce him, Kevy Kev, all the time.
I'm laid back. Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
It's Mark Borchardt, everybody. How you doing, Mark?
Oh, I can't believe you sound bit me. I mean, gosh, I was listening to that your show in a car in the morning, and I was like kind of half listening, honestly. But then I heard my voice. I'm like, oh, they just did a soundbite on me. Well, how cool! How cool on the Voice of Sports Betting does a soundbite. The pinnacle of my career, Gil.
Kev deserves all the credit. Kevin Trask, no relation to Amy, no relation to
Kyle.
Sorry, I was going like, who's the other Trask? Kyle. Okay, so before we get into this, do you have any plays for today in Major League Baseball? Why don't we do those first? What do you got?
Yeah, I've got a couple plays. You know, I've been experimenting with this halftime, full-time bet, and basically the team needs to be ahead at the end of five and at the end of nine. And it's I do the show, you know, BetUS MLB show with Jason and Kyle, and that's it. Seems like BetUS has really good odds on this particular bet, so I went with Atlanta today. I mean, Spencer Strider, there's not a lot you can say negative about him. You look at his strikeout percentage, 43.3%. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, that's like a reliever, right? You
yeah.
could be like Edward Diaz, like Alvarado got there at one point. But then, you know, ISO allowed his last 500 plate appearances is number two in baseball, 99th percentile as well. So when he does give up hits, they're not powerful hits. So I'm going to take Atlanta, and you get plus money on it too. Halftime, full-time, plus 105.
Okay, anything else? That's a huge game tonight, obviously, between the Braves and the Rangers. A huge series between one of the best teams in baseball in both leagues. So going with Spencer Strider and the Braves, you are in that one.
Yeah, I kind of like day ball alert here. Businessman special at Dodger Stadium. I like Sonny Gray today. You can get him on the first five market right about, plus 110 maybe. Go with him. He's at talk about a really good strikeout percentage, 33.6 strikeout percentage, and then contrast that with Dustin May's strikeout percentage, only 17.3. So I think we get an edge in starting pitching there. You know, it is a little bit concerning. This Dodger offense can go off at any point, but I think that the Twins offense is quite capable. They're a little bit above league average by my ratings, and I just think we get a significant edge in the starting pitching here. Sonny Gray's been just a real I guess a surprise to an extent. I mean, I have him ranked number fourth in baseball by my ratings. So for me, that's a surprise. And I'm going to go with him today in the first five, Gil.
Okay. So Braves first half, second half, Twins first five.
Yes.
Okay. The gentleman's special, the businessman's special, I should say, this afternoon. Okay. Let's talk derivatives. So now, again, for those who are new to this, what we're trying to do is determine what could be predictive moving forward. You know, it's only 40 games, so what is just sort of a statistical anomaly is not likely to continue, but what might actually signal something to look for in bets moving forward in the Major League Baseball season? We do this at the 80-game mark and the 120-game mark as well. Let's just talk straight, first of all, with teams. These are widely available numbers. It gets more proprietary as the derivatives go on. We'll get to first fives, and then we'll get to first innings with the stuff. But the Rays, no surprise. The Rays having just a sublime year, 32-11. This is a bizarro exercise where if you bet the Rays every time in every single one of these games this year, $100 as a dog to win 100 as a favorite, you'd be up close to 9 units on the season. Now, they've been a favorite many, many times and substantial favorites, so that's a testament to just how amazing that record is. Now, 2-3, second, third, and fourth, a different little matter. Detroit, 19-21 on the year, they're the second biggest winner. Again, the bizarro exercise of just betting them every single game. By the way, if you're betting on the Detroit Tigers every single game of the year, you're probably doing this wrong, but this is for the purposes of this exercise. They'd have you up over 8 units on the season just because they get a lot of plus money. Then you have two teams that a lot of people didn't think would be this good, at least through 40 games anyway. The Orioles and the Rangers, which would have you both up over 7 units if you bet them. Red Sox round out the top 5. What of those do you believe is the most sustainable? Or are they all sustainable in your opinion?
I don't think really any of them are sustainable. I don't think that Detroit, with the exception of maybe Detroit, just because they get priced,
right,
you know, as dogs most of the time. But I think that the Rays, I mean, Gil, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I've been saying this for 2.5 weeks. You know, you look at their weighted runs created plus, it's 141. And it was 144 2.5 weeks ago. He said, well, that dropped. But, you know, it's really hard to sustain a 144 weighted runs created plus. And they've basically done it. I don't think that's sustainable offensively. There's a couple of numbers, too. You look at the Rays top end of the bullpen, really good. You've got a 29.2 strikeout percentage. That's one of the key numbers. But then if you can get to the middle of that Rays bullpen, you've got 22.4% for the mid bullpen, and then the underbelly, 20.1% strikeout percentage. So I don't think their bullpen, with the exception of Fairbanks and Adam Jason, or Jason Adam, the guy with two last first and last names, it's Jason Adam. Those guys are really, really good. The rest of it's kind of a middle of the road bullpen by my numbers, Gil.
Do you, and you think the O's and the Rangers then, just as a couple, just sort of outperforming their skill level?
Yeah, the Rangers to me have really outperformed their skill level. You know, you look at kind of the output that they've gotten, even from today, Eovaldi, and I think that's bound to regress. But, you know, I mean, that's why they play the games, Gil.
That's why they play the games. And for those of us who have the Rangers season win total over, we like that the wins are banked already. By the way, the worst five teams on the money line, again, bizarro exercise. If you bet the A's every single one of their 44 games thus far this year, and believe me, if you're doing that, we need to have a discussion. They're 10-34 in the year. Just imagine, they're a dog every time. They're a substantial dog every time. You'd still be down almost 17 units betting them. That's how bad their record is. Royals, second. White Sox, third worst in terms of hemorrhaging money for bettors. Cardinals are fourth. Mets are fifth. The Cardinals now on the upswing, it would seem. Are you worried about the Mets and that number, that could just continue?
No, I think that they'll turn it around. You look at the talent they have, and Verlander just threw a bad game yesterday, but he threw some bad games in 2022, right? He did. I remember he allowed, I think, three or four home runs when he went up to Seattle, and you know what kind of season he had last year. So I think that the components that make up that team, bullpen good, offense good, I think they'll be back, Gil.
All right, best home team, by the way, on this is the Rays. Much of their almost 9 units, plus 750 of them at home. The worst home is, no surprise, the Oakland Athletics, over 11 units down just in terms of their home games. And then away, really the best away team has been the Washington Nationals, almost 8 units to the positive away. The worst away, the Chicago White Sox, 9 units to the negative. We'll do run line betting, the de facto power rating, coming up next, and umpires.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA, and NHL playoffs. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Nicholas Griggs letting me know that Snoop Dogg on his Instagram page has put up two shots of Austin Reeves and Alan Ruck, who played Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
No way.
Snoop's been listening.
Snoop, stop stealing our material.
Come on,
man.
Snoop. Len Glauzenski. Gil, the Joker's on a mission. He's pissed he didn't get the MVP award. He's out to prove everyone wrong. He's a pleasure watching him play. Unstoppable. And Jay Green. Right on. That's the question that matters. If the Nuggets win game two, are the Lakers going to win 4 of 5, as I said? Nope. Also, would take it a step further, he says. Right now, are the Lakers going to win 4 of 6 with 3 being in Denver? Hashtag mile high basketball, so you know where he's coming from. And then Mike Rouse tweeting us Dr. Evil with the quotes, with the finger quotes, laser, since you called the Lakers the lasers earlier.
Laser,
by the way, we got another one from Scola as well. Same thing. Everybody's tweeting Dr. Evil pictures for you. And then, Paulie, to add to your baseball quarter report, if you bet against the A's every game and you take the 1.5 run line, You would be up 10 units right now as they have lost 27 games by more than 1.5 runs. Well, it's funny you say that because that's exactly where we were headed next, doing Q1 derivatives, Major League Baseball with Mark Borchardt. And Kelly, we're talking about this off air because Kelly obviously hasn't been with us, Mark, all these years when we did Betting Dork and Beating the Book and earlier years of A Numbers Game. But Kelly, tell us your reaction when you were culling all this together. What was your biggest thing?
Well, I'll use umpires specifically, but it is just amazing to try to double check some of the like there are, it's easier to find betting statistics on umpires than it actually is to corroborate it with anything from Major League Baseball.
Yes.
That these umpires have umpired games, how many games have they done, and where have they umpired it?
Dude, we used to, the reason that Mark and I started doing this, because you know, now everybody takes for granted you can bet on first fives. I used to do them manually every single day, and nobody had first five stats for years. Now, by the way, we rely on Joe Ostrowski from Odd Shark, who does them weekly, yeah. So I don't have to do them. So thank you to Joe for doing that every week. And there's only a couple days of manual you have to do just to update them. So it's just finding out who's umpiring on a daily basis. Like, you have to go to StatFox in the morning to figure out who's the home plate umpire and the rotation. So it's a whole thing, still to this day.
Some of these league sites, we talk about this often. Like, they're, you know, like PGA Tour, NBA do a pretty good job with some of their stats and everything that they do on there. But some of these other leagues, man, like, how do you not, you're not tracking that anywhere? Like, that's not available to the public?
It's fascinating.
Well, it is. Kelly makes a really good point. I don't know why they don't make it public, because you can get their odds fee, or their daily game feed, their back end of their MLB AM is pretty good. I mean, it's really good. But you have to. He's right. In this day and age where you can get all these stats, it's kind of a challenge to get umpire stats unless you can pull them in, and that's one of the things that I've learned how to do over the last couple of years, because the source that I had for years, just they stopped doing it. And so I said, well, it's time to do my own, Gil.
Time to do your own. All right, let's get through a bunch of these. And again, these are designed for bettors to try to figure out what will help us win bets moving forward. Run line, de facto power rating, teams winning by more than a run and a half, losing by less than a run and a half when they're a dog. If you bet the Orioles on the run line each and every day this season, they're the big winner for run line bettors. Over 10.5 units, courtesy of Covers.com on these stats. Thank you, Covers. Tried and true on these. So the Orioles are the big winner on the run line. By the way, the Rays would be second. No surprise there. The big loser, as just indicated, is not actually the Oakland A's. It's the Kansas City Royals. If you bet them on the run line, you'd be down over 15.5 units. When they get beat, boy, do they get beat. And number two is not even the Athletics. It's, and this is sort of where it gets interesting, it's the 11th best money line team overall. The Miami Marlins. What are we now? We're the Miami Marlins, for goodness sakes. The Miami Marlins down 14.4 units on the season. Why? Because their one run record this year is 13-1 on the one run. So they're losing. So that's the thing. They're not covering the run line, even in victory. 13-1 in one run games. So you're actually down 14 plus units on that team. Where do you stand on that club?
Well, Miami's a tough team to bet on because of the offense. It's one of those teams where you have pretty good starting pitching, actually. My numbers actually like the bullpen. And, like, I was looking at a guy like Brazoban last night who imploded and get coughed up the league, and his actual numbers aren't that bad. So I think the Marlins, for me, if you had to make a blanket statement about a team, would be an under team for me. Yeah.
All right, let's do pitchers. Again, these are best pitchers. Now, this is when these pitchers take the hill to start a game, their team's performance has made them either real cash cows for bettors or hemorrhaging for bettors. We'll look at top five, bottom five. Drew Smyly of the Cubs. Cubbies are 6-2 when he takes the hill. You'd be up over 5.6 units if you bet Drew Smyly blindly. Mitch Keller of the Pirates, Brian Bello of the Red Sox, Ken Waltchuck of the A's, they're 5-3 when he takes the mound. And Jesus Luzardo of the Miami Marlins, 7-2 are the Marlins when he takes the hill. I'm not sure how much you read into any of these. By the way, the bottom five on this, if we could just get to that as well. really just these pitchers, when they take the hill, their team's just hemorrhage. Jordan Lyles, the Royals are 0-9. Is that good? And by the way, they're a dog every single time, so you would have lost 9 units. Blake Snell of the Padres. The Padres 1-7 when he takes the hill. Now, part of that is Blake Snell. Much of that is Blake Snell. Jameson Taillon of the Cubs. Cubbies are 0-6. You'd be down 6 units when he takes the hill. Lucas Giolito. God, what a Fangraphs Hall of Famer from year to year. Some years just horrific. Some years great. The Sox, the White Sox, 2-7 when he takes the hill for over 5.5 units to the negative. And then Jordan Montgomery's in there as well for the Cardinals. Do any of these guys, you look at, especially the bottom list, do you look at any of them and be like, oh, yeah, that checks out, and this might continue?
Well, I would start with the top because I think that Gerrit Cole's an interesting story. And if you look at his last 150 plate appearance strikeout percentage, it's not bad. He's at right at 26%. But we forget about he's got a tendency to give up a lot of power, and he hasn't done that this year. But if you look at like a stable number, last 500 plate appearances, he's actually below average there. So I would almost look to play against him unless he can get that strikeout percentage up above 30%. The guy that I've liked this year is Mitch Keller. He's really won a lot of money for me personally, and there's really not much to not much to hate about him. He's got a nice high strikeout percentage. He suppresses ISO power. He's a guy that if I had to bet him, and I have done this a lot, just bet him on the first 5, Gil.
Okay. Shall we move to umpires? The nice thing about having Mark here is that I have this year's umpire stats for the first 40-ish games. Mark has historical stats. So we'll see who have been the most reliable over and under umps thus far this year. And you'll tell us if this checks out with your historical numbers. These are the umpires that, when they're behind home plate calling balls and strikes, have produced the most over results per the betting total. Nate Tomlinson, 7 out of the 9 games that he has umped behind home plate have gone to the over. Chad Whitson, 7 of 8. Chris Guccione, 6 of 9. Brian Onora, 6 of 9. And Dan Bellino, oh, he's there every year, 6 of 8. Who checks out there?
Well, I don't have any of those guys, even in the top 10 of over. And kind of just the methodology on this is last 4 years I used strikeout percentage. And this year I used ISO power allowed. It's a little bit different than using BB minus K, but it comes out to about the same. The same guys are there. But one of the guys that always is up in my over is Alfonso Marquez, and it might be just because I like to call him the Fonz. That guy, and then I got Hickox, Carlos Torres, my biggest over number from lack of strikeout percentage and ISO power from that standpoint.
Okay, maybe these at the bottom here with more unders, maybe they have a wider strike zone. Bill Miller, 7 of 10. Under when he's behind home plate this year. Brian Knight. Oh, we like to make the Brian McKnight jokes here. 7 of 8 to the under. Corey Blazer, 6 of 9 under. Chad Fairchild, 6 of 9 under. Todd Tishner, 6 of 9 under. I know there's a couple that consistent to your historical numbers there, right?
Yeah, Blazer's like 5th in baseball from an under standpoint. And again, like just because these guys for me are under umpires doesn't mean you play it under every game, but there's significant margin on this because like a guy like Corey Blazer, 7% decline in his expected runs by my modeling. So you think, well, that's not that much. But if you have a 9 total, you know, 7% of that, it's almost, you know, a full run. It's close to that. So you're going to, I think you need to incorporate that. Anyway, he's there. Bill Miller's always there. He's a lower umpire. I've got him 5%. He suppresses runs 5% greater than an average umpire, Gil.
Okay, that's
fine. Brian Knight, we need to start back at 1, Gil.
We need to start back at one. It's a little R&B reference for you, ladies and gentlemen. So Corey Blazer and Bill Miller, when they're behind home plate, again, this is actionable for bettors. If your instinct is to go over, think twice. Maybe you should look to the under in those games if perhaps you're leaning that way already. First 5 betting. First inning betting. Proprietary next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Use a BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, simply log into your BetMGM account every Saturday and Wednesday between May 13th through June 7th to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There's no deposit or additional wager required. It's bonus bets on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Promotion may differ per customer, 21 and over to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, Washington, D.C. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text H-O-P-E-N-Y. That's 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Kansas and Nevada, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, and in partnership with the Kansas Crossing Casino in and Hotel. It's a good thing we don't have more states, Kelly. That's all I got to say. Skill Alexander's Kelly Bidlin. Mark Borchardt joins us for one more segment to talk Q1 MLB derivatives. And here's where it gets a little more proprietary. Now, we lean on Joe Ostrowski at Oddshark, who weekly puts together first five inning stats. Like I said, back in the day, you had to do these manually. They were just not available anywhere. By the way, first five inning betting as in general was not something that you could count on at every sports book. Even what, Mark, 5, 6, 7 years ago? Just wasn't widespread.
And that's one of the good things with the legalization of betting, the types of markets you can get and the types of betting. And, you know, Gil, some of these guys, baseball hipsters, are like, well, yeah, the odds aren't very good. And, you know, the EV is not good. But, you know, some of these bets are really fun to make. So I think you got to balance out. Like, I do a lot of math and a lot of computer programming, but sometimes you just got to have some darn fun, Gil.
The straddle is bigger is what you're saying on the first five versus the full. And that's the chief sort of counter argument to first five betting.
Or like a home run prop is just terrible from an expected value standpoint. But you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong, Gil. I hate to get philosophical with you with having a little bit of fun while you're endeavoring in something, you know, take it serious, but have some fun as well.
Yeah. We were saying that yesterday with the lottery, which we'll get to momentarily, which is like, hey, look, this is actual mathematical odds. Like, this is math. These are the percentage of ping pong balls that exist. These are the odds. Just know that what should be plus 615, you're only getting plus 550. If you want to have fun, have at it, but just know you're not getting it. But we said, you know, if you want to have fun, that's your business. First five, these are based on $100 bets. Again, favorites, underdogs, bizarro exercise designed to figure out what is sustainable, what is not. Now, Joe Ostrowski did it through last Friday. I manually sort of put it together since then. So we have these to the penny. Don't worry about it to the penny. But essentially what you have is last night with yesterday's results, the Rangers are actually just barely the best first five team in all of baseball. This is without DeGrom, right, for most of this. The Braves right there with them. Both over 9 units, followed by the Rays, followed by the Nationals, once again, who are 18-20-4. Remember, you can push on first fives. And the Rockies, two losing teams in first five, 16-18-9, who got you 4.5 units as well. So Nats and Rockies getting there because they're a lot of times plus money. The Rangers, Braves, and Rays, the opposite. I mean, the Rangers has to leap off the page as the most unsustainable of this, right?
Yeah, I mean, my numbers just don't like Texas, so like I'm so biased. Like I think Houston to win that division is a really good play, and I like the Angels to start off the year, but I think Houston, I mean, with their bullpen. But anyway, I'm digressing a little bit. Yeah, Texas, I don't consider them a legitimate contender. Sorry, Texas bettors.
Sorry, Texas bettors. The others though, the Rays and the Braves, absolutely so, right? Sustainable, you think?
Oh yeah, I mean, especially you think about the Rays starting pitching, which has just been amazing this season. And I think that there is some sustainability. I mean, obviously you can't have expected fielding independence of sub three all the time, but you know, these guys are continue to put it up. So I don't know. I with Tampa Bay, I think that they're sustainable until they prove that they're not sustainable, Gil.
All right, the worst first five teams. There's going to be no surprise at the top. The Athletics and the Royals. I mean, these two teams, slice them up any way you want. First fives, full games, home road, whatever. They're just bad. Athletics on the first five, 9-27-8. You'd be down almost 15 units doing that. And again, let me just say this. This is just a bizarro exercise to try to see what is signal and what is noise. If you're betting the A's every day on the first five line, something's wrong with you. 9-27-8. The Royals are 12-27-5 doing the same. You'd be down 12.5 units doing that. Mets, Cardinals, and White Sox are the other three on the worst five list. Mets, Cardinals. Mets and Cardinals aren't going to stay there, are they?
No, I like this Cardinal team to rebound. Their hitting's way too good. If you look at their weighted runs created plus a 114, places them fourth in baseball. And they really, by my expected standings numbers, they really should have eight more wins than they do. Their pitching hasn't been all that bad. I think if you were to ask Marmol in at the start of the season, if you get an xFIP minus, I wonder if he knows xFIP minus. I'm sure he does. If you get an xFIP minus of 96 through this date in the season, would you take it? I think he'd say yes, Gil.
Okay, let's go to first innings. A lot of people like to bet first innings. Jason Weingart and I have talked about betting first innings for years on this show. A lot of people like to bet yes-nos. A lot of people like to bet sides. We stick to the yes-nos. But in terms of the sides and what performances have been thus far, so this is through, again, the first quarter of the season, roughly. I did a minimum of 30 plate appearances against. And we'll do it by on-base percentage against. Who do you think are – do you have any idea?
I'll give you good?
Let's do to the bad first. Like, who are the worst first-inning pitchers thus far this year in terms of opponents on base?
Joey from Friends, Gil.
Joey from Friends?
Joey Lucchesi, or Lucchesi. I don't know. I think it's Lucchesi, actually.
Oh, I don't see.
His weighted OBA is .583.
How many minimum plate appearances against do you have?
I've got 28 plate appearances for Lucchesi.
So I did 30. That's why he doesn't appear on my list. So I have Luis Sessa, who was starting for the Reds, but I don't think he's starting anymore. Who was 5.53 against.
Yeah, they've ceased to start Luis Sessa.
That's right. They won't let us bet against him now. Jack Flaherty, 4.88 against in the first inning alone. Pablo Lopez of the Twinkies, 4.75 against in the first inning. Then you have Hayden Wesneski and Lance Lynn rounding out the top five of the worst performers in the first five. But if you go down a little further, you'll see Lucas Giolito in there. You'll see Julio Urias in there. So, again, what of this is something likely to continue? What if it's not? Like in Sessa's case, like if you went to his FanGraphs page, and I'm sort of sad that the Reds sat him, but if you went to his FanGraphs page, like it is just insane how bad he was earlier in these games. Like there was one game where he gave up 11 earned runs in three innings. Another one, five. And I mean, it's like it's just horrible. So they finally relieved him of his starting duties. What about the best first inning performances from pitchers this year? What do you got?
Well, Jesus saves, and Jesus can pitch in the first inning, Gil. Jesus Luzardo for me, .071. He does have 30 batters faced, so maybe that's what you got too.
Jesus Luzardo does not come up on mine. You know who I have here? I have Tanner Houck of the Red Sox. 200 against Trevor Williams of the Nationals, Alex Cobb of the Giants, Josiah Gray of the Nationals again, and Joey Wentz in there. Sonny Gray and Jonathan Gray right after that. You have those names appearing?
I've got, yeah, Cobb's at 166, and to me, he's kind of amazing. He can suppress ISO power. He's the best in baseball, and you wouldn't think that by, I guess, the last 500 plate appearances is what I use. So Alex Cobb's kind of a breath of fresh air for those Giants. I think the Giants have some good things other than him, too, as well.
Yeah, these are the best guys in the first inning. I mean, Sonny Gray's in the top 10, Jonathan Gray's in the top 10, Zach Greinke, Jose Barrios, Spencer Strider shows up there as well. So some of the names that you might expect. So of all of that, as we wrap this up, what's your biggest takeaway from that? Is it the fact that the Marlins are just this sort of strange anomaly through 40-ish games?
Well, the biggest takeaway for me from the whole thing, Gil,
I think you got
to look at Baltimore when they get ahead. I think that this bullpen is completely underrated, and it came out at that -1.5 number. I think if they get ahead, they're going to be hard to come back from. And you just don't think that. But if you look at their bullpen, Bautista, Cano, Brian Baker, those guys are all rated really good, a high strikeout percentage. So for me, that Orioles team, who I've been kind of cold on the last couple of years, but not anymore. I think that they get ahead. You want to stay on that team, Gil.
All right. Again, your plays today were
Atlanta halftime, full time, and the Twins on the first five, Gil.
Mark, we'll do this again in 40 more games. We'll talk to you next week.
To be on. Thanks, Gil.
At BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. We'll come back. We'll talk draft, lottery, Heat, and Celtics, and the PGA, all of Kelly's PGA picks on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.